I was in church the first time I heard about Midnight Run. The church youth group, announced the woman in charge, was about to go on a midnight run. A midnight run? How glamorous, I thought. As she continued to speak, however, it became clear that the teens were about to join forces with Midnight Run, an organization that brings food, clothing, and companionship to the homeless poor of New York City. Hi, I'm Christine Potter, reporting for WDFH-FM 90.3 in Ossining, New York, the community radio alternative for the Lower Hudson River Valley. Recently, I was allowed to go on a midnight run myself. Midnight Run is based in Dobbs Ferry, New York, about 20 miles up the Hudson River from Manhattan. A midnight run is a trip to the city on which volunteers deal with the problem of homelessness, one-on-one, person-to-person. The statistics on homelessness are surprising. The Coalition for the Homeless, an advocacy organization that serves New York City residents who are homeless or in danger of becoming homeless, also tracks their numbers. As of November 2005, there were 32,000 people in shelters each night in the city, and that's not counting the thousands more who sleep on park benches and church steps. In the 9 years between 1987 and 1995, over 333,000 men, women, and children used New York City municipal shelters. That's a third of a million, 1 in 20 of all New Yorkers. And in the past 7 years, the number of homeless families in shelters and welfare hotels has increased by 78%. The New York metropolitan area is known for its affluence, but these growing numbers tell another story, one that those of us who live in houses and apartments often avoid, the same way we avoid someone asleep on a midtown sidewalk. Midnight Run deals with the problem of homelessness in two ways. It offers food and comfort to people without homes in New York City, and it does so by bringing volunteers into contact with its clients on the street. Participants say the experience deeply changes hearts and minds. Alan Shapiro is president of the Interfaith Caring Community, a group of 12 socially active churches and synagogues in Westchester County. He's been a volunteer with Midnight Run for 2 decades, leading groups into New York City to support the homeless. I spoke with Alan not long before I went out on a run. He told me about the history of the organization.
Midnight Run is an organization which is actually a coalition of some 100 various organizations, churches, synagogues, civic organizations, schools, who got together some 20 years ago when it became obvious that there was a need to help the street homeless in New York City.
Dale Williams is the executive director of Midnight Run. He told me that the organization grew out of a soup kitchen.
Some volunteers from the South Presbyterian Church in Dobbs Ferry were volunteering at the what later became the Broadway Community Soup Kitchen, and they met some homeless women who were taking out, you know, the leftover soup. They were asking, why would you need so much soup? And they explained that some homeless people didn't feel comfortable coming to the soup kitchens, and they were taking the leftovers from the soup kitchen to these people. These people said, well, boy, we could help you with that. And they started coming down, started off with a couple people in a VW bug coming down with, 20 sandwiches, and kind of grew from there.
Midnight Run sends about 900 runs into the city every year. Alan defined a run for me.
A run is a van or a van and cars or vans and cars, which bring food, clothing, personal care items to the street homeless in New York, as well as friendship and understanding, which we feel is equally as important as the things which we bring.
I tried to imagine myself on one of those vans. Frankly, it made me nervous. Alan tried to put me at ease by explaining what it would be like when I first met the homeless clients.
We will be spending time with them where they sleep, which is typically on church steps, in public parks, in secluded places where there are quiet building overhangs. And we will be spending time in each of those places with the people. I've been doing this for 20 years, so most of these people are well known to me. They know me, I know them. We spend a lot of time talking to each other and kidding around.
Longtime Midnight Run leader Alan Shapiro. The Midnight Run bylaws actually require that the board of directors include people who are or have been homeless. That includes Executive Director Dale Williams. His involvement with Midnight Run began when he was a client.
Well, my involvement started one night when I was sleeping on a park bench and some cars from Midnight Run pulled up and some people said, "We're from Midnight Run. Could you use a clean shirt or a cup of soup?" I had grown up in a nice upper middle class family, went to the University of North Carolina, graduated, and proceeded to mess up my life through drug use. By the time I was on the streets, I'd stopped using drugs, but my life didn't magically put itself back together. And so I found myself on the streets and met the Midnight Run as a client.
Dale was hired by Midnight Run to sort clothing when he was still homeless. A year later, the organization's board offered him the position of executive director.
My job is to make sure that the runs go out well supplied and they know where they're going. The volunteers understand our policies and just make sure that we have a good relationship with the homeless poor.
Midnight Run headquarters is on Main Street in Dobbs Ferry. It's a storefront that contains Dale's desk and computer, but it's mostly filled with huge bins of donated clothing, toiletries like toothbrushes and soap, and a small kitchen for preparing the soup and hot cocoa or iced tea that Midnight Run volunteers carry with them on their trips to Manhattan. On the night I went along on a run, the place was bright and bustling, front door propped open. It was a Saturday in mid-March, around 8 p.m., and the weather was cloudy and mild. Cigarette-smoking customers from the sports bar next door stood on the sidewalk in T-shirts. Anticipating late-night chills, I dressed more warmly than I needed to. A sweater under my denim jacket, a woolly blue scarf. Already I felt awkward and nervous. Untangling the scarf from my neck, I walked into the storefront. Alan Shapiro, who'd be leading the run, was already there with two volunteers. The first part of any midnight run is the preparation, and it takes several hours. There are bagged sandwiches and fruit to pack, and clothing that must be sorted by size into plastic boxes that will fit into the Midnight Run van. And there is the famous Midnight Run soup to concoct. It travels in giant thermos containers, alongside the cocoa or iced tea. Alan was working with junior high school student Jacob Lowy. Alan had told me that Midnight Run is important for the spiritual development of its volunteers, especially the younger ones.
I always tell the young people who come on the run, and I usually take mostly young people, that this is really about them, not about the homeless people, that it's about what they stand for in their lives, and so they have to understand that it's not so much what they're doing for others is the opportunity that they're getting to build themselves up spiritually. That's my take on it.
Alan and Jacob were sorting sneakers from a huge bin and taping them into matched pairs with masking tape. Having the sizes well organized helps volunteers connect folks in need with clothes that will fit them. It looked like a lot of work, and I asked if I could help. "Not yet," said Alan. "Go talk to the soup Nazi," he told me. The soup Nazi? I walked into the kitchen at the rear of the storefront. A gentle-looking man with an impressive beard and yarmulke stirred something fragrant in a massive pot.
My name is Joel Ross. I work for the Midnight Run, and I'm a member of Green Bay Hebrew Center. I've been preparing soups and also getting the hot chocolate ready for the runs. I haven't gone on the runs, but I've done the background work in the kitchen, you know, giving everyone the materials to bring down on the run with them. And I've been doing it for a number of years. It's a very rewarding experience. I know that we're feeding people who really need the meals, and we've had some bad winters, and it I think it warms their heart to have people come down and provide them with some good food and some nice conversation. And you know, in the long run, we hope it does help the situation. So I enjoy doing it. Every you know, every so often they ask me to get the soups and the coffee or the hot chocolate ready, and I get to work.
What kind of soup is it tonight?
Tonight I think we're going to have some sort of a mixed vegetable soup, which should be good. I always keep tasting it as, you know, as it gets ready and hits the final you know, temperature. I want to be sure that it really tastes good at the last moment also, because in general, two different people prepare the soups. I prepare one portion of it, and someone else prepares another portion of it, and then we put it together, and I finalize the flavor of it. So it comes out good.
And is there hot chocolate tonight also?
There will be hot chocolate, yeah.
From scratch? Do you use a mix? What do you use? What's your secret?
Well, we use a powdered hot chocolate mix, to which I do add something to give it more of a, I guess, a creamy taste. That we use a non-dairy creamer and add to it. It gives it a nice creamy taste. Yeah.
I heard you called the soup Nazi up front. You do not look like the soup Nazi.
That's what they call me, and from where the original name came, I guess I'm kind of proud to have that title, because the guy who was the original soup Nazi on the show is a real good at making soup. So it's, I guess, an honor to have a name like that.
Depends on what your definition of an honor is, I think. I think with you it's always soup for you. It's not no soup for you, right?
Soup for you!
As Joel cooked, the preparation stage of the run went on. Alan and Jacob were folding pants and packing toiletry sets. At last, I was given a job, pairing socks and sizing BVDs, men's underwear, because I was told there were only a few women we'd be meeting on the streets. I got through the socks in no time, but the BVDs were another matter. Everything from a size 32 down went in one bin, everything from a 32 up in another. The sizes over 40 flopped over sideways as I tried to find the labels inside the waistbands. I wondered if I was working fast enough. And what would this evening hold? I was going to walk up to a group of homeless men I'd never seen before in my life and give them underpants? What would that be like? Would I just say, hey, want some BVDs? Or would they ask me? Size 44. I said under my breath. Alan must have picked up my nervousness. Laughing, he told me I'd better not make any comments about the large sizes, like a group of junior high school girls he'd shepherded into New York a few weeks back. You don't know what size I wear, he said. By then, Jacob began dragging the packed boxes and bins out front to get ready for the arrival of the van that would take us into the city. Other volunteers had shown up, a few more teenagers and a few adults, some in their 20s and 30s, some in their 40s and 50s. Soon there were 10 people milling about headquarters, chatting and helping haul boxes. Almost everyone knew each other and had been on other runs. It had been quiet before, but now there was laughter and 5 conversations going on at once. Joel Ross poured the soup and cocoa into the thermoses. Alan Shapiro set up late-night rides home for the teenagers being dropped off by parents. We were about to move on to the next stage, the run itself. I talked to Jacob Lowy, the junior high school student who'd been sizing sneakers with Alan. He's been involved with Midnight Run for about a year.
I've been doing the Midnight Run since last June, I think, maybe May, and I think this is my 6th run, and it's a great organization. I just sorted pants, folding them, putting them in baskets. I put shampoo and toiletry bags. We put shirts away and into bags, and we will be going out tonight giving those shirts away.
How many stops do you think we're going to make tonight?
I'm guessing probably around 3, I think maybe 4. But I think I'm going to guess that the first stop is probably, there probably aren't going to be that many people at the first stop. But then at the second and third stop, there are going to be more. I think we're going to make a stop near Alan's office. There are usually like 20 people, maybe even 40 at some times. And I remember a few months ago, we went on a run and it was pouring out and people still showed up, and it was really great to talk to them and see them. And even though it was raining, they were still there and grateful.
It's a warm night tonight for March, but we've still got soup and hot chocolate. You think the soup and hot chocolate's going to go?
They always go. They're what everyone loves. The orange juice, the hot chocolate, and the soup. They always go. The soup's great. I remember the first time I had it was delicious, and the hot chocolate is definitely what people. It might be warm out for March, but it's still chilly out, and everyone loves hot chocolate, even in the summer.
Now, Alan tells me that the most important thing about a run is talking to the people, not just giving them socks and shoes and underpants and hot chocolate. So do you talk to folks a lot when you're doing this?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if you give them the clothes, you might as well say something to them. It's not like they don't do anything during the day. They're alive and they want to know what's going on, and there are interesting things going on in the world and they want to discuss it. I mean, a few months ago, before the playoffs, I was talking to this guy about how great the Giants were doing, and he was really happy, and he's been a Giants fan his entire life, I think, and he was pretty thrilled that they were going to the playoffs.
I thought back to Alan telling me how the runs were for the volunteers as much as for the clients being served on the streets. I thought Jacob must have been served by Midnight Run as much as he had served the homeless. And then the van pulled up. We filled it with clothing, food, and volunteers, and put the overflow in 2 cars that would follow us. I squeezed into the van next to a volunteer named Hazel Donegan. She's a veteran of quite a few runs, and she'd brought one of her nephews along.
I've got a couple of nephews who are of the age who participate with us, and it's really, you know, about experiencing it not only, you know, for ourselves personally, but to bring kids. So it's the large part of the group is usually high school or junior high school kids, even some college kids. And, you know, we meet on Saturday evenings about 9 o'clock. We have a brief orientation, and we usually have 2 vehicles that go down into the city. One van or big car that we load up with clothes and blankets and toiletries and those sorts of things. And the other car has the food. We go down to the city, we leave about 9:30, arrive about 10:30 because the homeless are then allowed to sleep on the steps of churches after 10:30 in the evening. And that's where we find them. Dale, who's the director of the Midnight Run down in Dobbs Ferry, organizes where the runs will go. And there's often more than one run out a night, at least on the weekend nights. So there may be 2 or 3 or even 4 runs in a night. And, you know, depending on, you know, where we go, we may give out a little bit of the things that we have, or we may give out a lot, depending on how many people we find. But usually about 3 or 4 or 5 stops we have. And we know a lot of the people because we've been going, as I said, doing this for many years. You get to see familiar faces. A lot of these people have been on the streets for years.
Alan said that he thought that the most important part of what we do is the talking to the people. And he's also told me that he thinks the most important part of what we do, or as important as what we're giving to the folks in the city, is what we're teaching the young people who come along on these runs.
Well, there's no doubt about that. You know, there's nothing like experience firsthand. And especially to be in New York City doing this, because you may be on the corner of, say, 53rd Street and 5th Avenue, at midnight, and here you got limos dropping off people, getting out of the limos and their tuxes and their fur coats, and here we are on the street feeding people who have come out of their little cardboard box huts just to get a cup of soup. So the contrast is just, you know, stark and amazing, and you know, it gives, it creates an opportunity for the kids that they may not have had before, and you know, a different way to look at life and, you know, see all sides of it. So yeah, it's a great experience.
At the wheel of the van was Don Bunch, another Midnight Run veteran. Dodging taxis as we neared Midtown, he talked about his experiences interacting with the street homeless. Most people don't understand that someone can be homeless and still have pride about his appearance, he said.
Homeless people are funny because they'll come in sometimes with attitudes because they want particular clothes, because most of them have jobs, and people don't think that homeless people have any rights. When people donate stuff, they don't think. They say, well, these homeless people, so they can take anything. Well, that's not true. They have their own pride. They want to go to work, and they want to be looking good. So sometimes they come in, and they're looking for particular clothes. And it's like being in the image of women going shopping in the store. That's the way it looks. But after they get, they complain. But after they get their clothes, they always thank you. They walk away and they thank you, even if they don't get it. They thank you for coming down. And so any attitudes that you have about them are gone. These are great people down here. And the kids, I've never seen any kid come down here on the run and be nervous. Somehow they're not as nervous as we are, the adults. And it's a great experience for them because they see how the other half lives.
Midnight Run driver Don Bunch. And so we came to our first stop. Out of respect for the homeless clients, Midnight Run asked me not to record our interactions with them. We pulled up in front of a church, and it looked like no one was there at first. But then people began coming out of the shadows between buildings, accepting our offers of soup and clothing. We sorted through the bins for sizes. I was a little embarrassed the first time I dug into those BVDs I'd sized before. But then I got over myself, and there was nothing odd about it at all. It was simply a matter of something that people needed, a change of clothing. We talked about the mild weather, how good the soup was, and the breakfast run that other volunteers would be making in the morning. I watched Alan Shapiro pick up energy as he worked, telling jokes, keeping the mood light. Not that he really had to. The people we served cracked jokes back at us and laughed. Jacob and a group of boys around his age doled out soup, sandwiches, and conversation as if it were the most natural thing in the world to be standing on a Midtown sidewalk on a Saturday night with a huge thermos and a sleeve of coffee cups. I watched as volunteers held up pairs of blue jeans and shirts for our clients to inspect. Don was right. Everyone said thank you. I remembered a time I'd volunteered in a soup kitchen, and then I realized what was different about Midnight Run. Here there was no parish hall or church basement for the homeless poor to seek out. There was no serving counter between them and us. We had come to them. The ground, or to be more exact, the sidewalk, between us was leveled. We made more stops. Now it was getting late, truly midnight. Well-dressed people, on their way home from restaurants and shows, cut a wide swath around our setups on the sidewalk, a line of plastic bins with volunteers helping the street homeless get the clothing they needed, a circle of teenagers ladling soup into coffee cups and handing out bags of sandwiches and bottles of water. I imagined myself on the way home from a show, seeing the Midnight Run volunteers at work. Would I have looked away? I felt a little ashamed. Our last stop used up most of our clothing and all of our water bottles. We thought our work was finished several times and began to pack up, but then three or four more people would arrive. At last, there was no one else to serve, and we got back into our vehicles and headed home. In the van, the teenagers fell asleep almost instantly. I gazed out the window. I've always loved watching the city lights on late-night drives home from Manhattan. For a minute, the van felt a little like one of my parents' long-ago cars on its way home to Westchester after a ballet. Very cozy. As we passed through Times Square, I saw a Kenneth Cole sign that said, "Help repair the lives of the homeless." Had I repaired anything that evening? When we got back to Midnight Run headquarters, it was time for the final phase of the run, the cleanup. We put back the few pieces of clothing we hadn't given out and washed out the thermoses. I gave one of the teenagers a lift back to his folks' house in Irvington, and then I headed home myself. Back in my own kitchen, exhausted, my thoughts were still flooded with images of smiling volunteers, steaming cups of soup, and those bins of BVDs that I'd searched through more times than I could say. I tried to figure out why I was feeling so emotional, almost weepy. The strange thing was that the run hadn't been strange, not at all. I couldn't stop thinking about that last stop. I wanted to get my thoughts on tape while they were still fresh. I think about the last stop we made that had so many homeless folks, or folks who were maybe not homeless, but were in need of our services, were in need of free clothing or a meal, and how we ran out of slacks and ran out of shoes and ran out of all kinds of things that we needed. We still had some soup left over and some cocoa, but it was pretty impressive. And the incredible good humor of folks. There was a lot of laughing and kidding around, and it was not hard to do this. In fact, it was sort of a relief because we're always taught that we're supposed to care for our fellow man, but then there's this very polite way that we do not. And so getting to do it was more of a gift than I thought it would be. I talked with Midnight Run Executive Director Dale Williams about the change I was beginning to feel in myself. Did this usually happen to volunteers, I asked?
I hope so. I mean, that's one of our, you know, goals, isn't just to help the homeless, but to change people's attitudes. I mean, I don't think it's uncommon. As a factor, I think it would be almost the norm that at some point, if I'm taking a group, usually it's going to be teenagers or college students included. At some point on the way back, someone makes a comment, something along the lines of, "Wow, you know, they're just like us," about the homeless poor. Which, you know, leads you to question, what did they think before? I mean, obviously they thought, like most people tend to think, that, you know, the homeless were some faceless other. Once you have gone on a run and you've met, you know, Bob on the steps of this church, or, you know, Jason on, you know, this park bench, the homeless are no longer a faceless other. And that is one of the things that we hope to achieve, is that, you know, I don't want people to be able to talk about the homeless dismissively, you know, after they've done a midnight run, because people have faces now.
Alan Shapiro had told me something similar at the beginning of all this. Helping people, he said, is fun, especially once you've experienced how cold a city sidewalk can be.
The problem of homelessness is a very serious one. When you go out at night and you see how cold people can get on a very, very cold night, where they're sleeping in a cardboard box with a simple blanket, you can understand that you'd really like to be helping other people, perhaps, and let those people find comfort somewhere. Once my next-door neighbor said to me, what do I do on Saturday night for fun? Because he saw me going on the midnight run. It happened that his daughter was going with me, as she did all of the time when she still lived in the neighborhood. And I told him, you know, that I thought everything else was frivolous, and that midnight run was the most fun that I could possibly have. So I just hope for myself that for the rest of my life I will continue to derive my fun from helping other people.
Detailed information about volunteering at Midnight Run is available on the organization's website. Hundreds of people are involved every year. There are runs going out almost every night of the week, some breakfast runs, and multiple runs on weekends. They can handle up to 5 runs at a time. Midnight Run has been part of alternate spring break activities for college students who are looking to do something more meaningful than just party. Churches, synagogues, schools, out-of-state organizations, even organizations from outside the country, sign up to do runs months in advance. There's a long list of them on the site's schedule page. There is also a need for donations of clothing, blankets, and prepared or canned food that can go into the soup. To get information about volunteering or donating, go to midnightrun.org. Why become a midnight runner? I think junior high schooler Jacob Lowy, speaking to me at the end of the run that Saturday night, got to the heart of things best.
I thought it was a wonderful experience, and I am still wide awake for some reason, and I can't get over it because half of me wants to go to sleep like I was in the car, and the other half wants to stay awake and talk to my parents about it. It was a truly exciting experience, and it was just as good, if not better, than any other I've been on. I can't wait to do the next one.
This program was edited and produced by Mark Sofas and myself and supported with a grant from the Norman and Bettina Roberts Foundation. I'm Christine Potter, reporting for WDFH News.